You, Pastor. God bless you. Let's open our Bibles again to Luke's Gospel. Yeah? Chapter number 10. And I would preach from some other passage, but I'm hung up right there. And I want to preach the last message tonight in this series of sermons. I've enjoyed being here. I got a little sick back in the fall. Had to go to the hospital. And after that, praise God, I'm just glad to be anywhere. I've heard of those people who enjoy being sick. I ain't one of them. There ain't but one thing about the hospital I like, and that's them discharge papers, amen? But I'm so glad that God let us be here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I love the pastor here and appreciate his sweet little family and appreciate the church family here. And it is good to see these other churches tonight and not have to worry about a fight breaking out. I'm really not sure if y'all Baptist, but I hope you are. We ain't had a good fight yet, so I'm beginning to doubt it, amen? Brother, God's people, we're on the same side. One of my favorite episodes of Andy Griffith, if I've got one fault, probably that's one of them. I like Andy Griffith. I've pastored Barney through the years. Several of them. But one episode, Reverend Tucker is out of town and he has a visiting speaker and Andy's mad about it. And he said, I'm just not going to go, Aunt B. I've been taken from Reverend Tucker now all these years. And Aunt B said, Andy, they're on the same side. And brother, we are on the same side. And let me encourage you to be thankful that your area has a camp meeting. That would never happen where I live. It just wouldn't happen in that town. But this is wonderful that you have this opportunity. And I appreciate you pastors not being so jealous that, you don't mind letting your people go somewhere. That's wonderful. And thank God, always work together. And I tell camp meetings this, I preach all over the place. As long as you pastors will work together, you'll have a great meeting. But if you guys ever get crossed up, son, the party's over. I mean, the fat lady done sung. You know what I'm saying? It's over. And I'm glad you can work together. You have two wonderful preachers coming this summer to your camp meeting. And I love both of them. They're great preachers, and you'll be blessed by that. And let me encourage you to go and give and everything. Now, I got one thing I want to settle tonight before I preach. And I thought I heard somebody say, are you from Avery's Chapel? Yeah, where is Russell at? Is he backslid on God? Well, you tell him the next time I'm in this area and he don't come hear me preach or at least send an offering, I'm going to disown him. Amen. And no, I love old brother Russell. He's a good one. And I don't see him tonight. I don't want to talk about somebody, but I don't see him. I don't see his grin. Is Russell, you here? All right, I can talk about him. He ain't here. Amen. But thank you for being here tonight. Brother Scott, love you. Appreciate you in the Lord. God is great and God is good and we're unworthy, but I'm not unthankful. I'm glad he remembered me, Lord of God, looked in my direction, and I'm glad tonight he is our wonderful, ever-living, eternal Savior. And I'm glad, praise God, his blood has never lost its power. Luke chapter number 10 in your Bible tonight. Monday night I began preaching out of verse 30 on the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we've been preaching in these days on Operation Rescue. How that it is the desire of God to reach out and help those who cannot help themselves. And I believe the great heart throb of the Bible is reaching sinners with the gospel. I believe that our Savior tonight is a willing Savior. You ain't got to con him into saving you. Brother, he stands willing and ready and able to save from the uttermost, thank God, to the guttermost. And in this parable of the Good Samaritan, there are three main characters in this text. In verse number 30, you've got the man that fell among the thieves. And we preached on him Monday night, and we said that he is a picture of the condition of the sinner. For he was fallen and could not get up without the aid of another. And lest I sound like a broken record, I will hasten on, but I want to say this, that man in his natural state is a fallen creature, and he cannot get up outside of a divine intervention of the grace of God. Man is a sinner by birth and by nature and by choice, and it still takes God to save a sinner. I like what I heard a while ago in that front row. They was talking about saving grace. And if it ain't by grace, it ain't at all. I'm glad tonight that when we were sinners, God came in grace to our request. So in verse 30, you've got that man that fell among the thieves, and here's a picture of the condition of the sinner. Then last night, we went to verse 33, and I preached on this certain Samaritan, known as the Good Samaritan. And I said he is a picture of the compassion of the Savior. For he came to where the man was and loved him like he was and bound up his wounds, fixed him up, took care of him, and said, I'm coming again. Boy, I'm glad that's a picture of our Lord who came to where we were and responded in mercy and grace to our sinful condition. And I'm glad he poured in the oil and the wine. I'm glad he bound me up with the cords of Calvary. And I'm glad he made me a promise, I will come again. Tonight I want us to come to verse number 35 and preach on this third character in this parable. And he's called the innkeeper. He is the one, the Good Samaritan, placed the recovering man in his care. Why? He went away before he was to come again. Now, if that fallen man is a picture of the condition of the sinner, if that Good Samaritan is a picture of the compassion of the Savior, then I believe this innkeeper is a picture of the call of the servant. He is a picture of the ministry that God has given you and I. And we do have a ministry. Not just the preacher, not just the deacons, not just the Sunday school teacher, but every child of God has a ministry. And you say, what is that, preacher? To invest our lives in the lives of others. I've often heard the innkeeper preached as a type of the Holy Spirit. I guess you can do that if you stretch it far enough. But the only thing I don't understand, when Jesus comes back, he ain't gonna repay the Holy Spirit. He's coming to repay those that have served him on the behalf of others. And aren't you glad when the Lord saved you, he just didn't leave you to get along the best way you could by yourself. He puts you under the watch care of the saints of God. And in the absence of the Good Samaritan, they've been ministering to you and aiding you and helping you. And we're supposed to help one another until Jesus comes again. So let's look at the call of the saint, the ministry God has given us illustrated in this parable of the Good Samaritan. Notice our text tonight in verse number 35. Of course, the verse number 34 is where he brought him to an inn and took care of him. Verse 35, and on the morrow, the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. We are host. We are innkeepers. We operate in this place to minister, to aid, to help others who are recovering from the fall. And he said the same thing to the host that he had done himself to the fallen man, and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. Well, that's the same thing the man did himself in verse number 34. He just says, you pick up where I left off. You just do what I've been a doing. And son, that night when Jesus gathered his disciples on the outskirts of Bethany and wrapped that cloud around him and set out for the glory world, before he left, he just said, you need to pick up where I left off and keep on doing what I've been doing. And what is that? Reaching the lost, preaching to the lost, being a blessing to the saints, ministering to those that have been rescued by the grace of God. And I don't know about you tonight, but I want to be a good host. I want God to use my life to be a blessing to others. And I appreciate all the host that God has put in my life. And I want to be a blessing to others like they have been a blessing to me. Take care of him. Verse 35, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, boy, I love that. Watch this double promise. I will come again. I will repay thee. Oh, there's a payday. Someday, for those that have invested their lives in the lives of others, I will repay thee. Which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, and get a hold of this now. This is the whole crux of this text. This, what Jesus is about to say, is the whole reason why he just gave this parable. Jesus gave this parable so he might make this statement. Go and do thou likewise. He just gave that illustration to show you what compassion will do, show you what love will do, show you our responsibility to others. And after that illustration, he gives this instruction, go and do thou likewise. Jesus had not given them this illustration just to take up space in the Bible. He gave them this instruction and this illustration that they may get under the command and the burden to go and do thou likewise. I want to tell you there is a call of God placed upon his church in these last days. And that call is to serve the Lord, preach the gospel, reach out to the lost, minister to the saints, and serve together until Jesus comes again. There are four things in these verses tonight I believe that represent the call of God and the ministry that God has given us. Number one, this ministry or this call has a commission. God has commissioned you and I. You say, where do you see that, Brother Joe? Look in verse number 37. Then said Jesus, go, 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 go. He says, I commission you. Go and do thou likewise. What do you mean likewise? Do it just like the man in the text did it. Do it just like the good Samaritan did it. Well, how did he do it? He did it while he was a-going. Verse number 33 says, as he journeyed. If he would have stayed at his house, he couldn't have done it. If he hadn't left his comfort zone, he couldn't have done it. If he hadn't went to where the man was, he could not have done it. May I say the message to the New Testament church in this day is not stay and play, it's go and pray. Nowhere in the Bible does God ever tell the sinners to hunt us up. But all over the Bible, it tells you and I to hunt them up. He didn't say, you wait on the world to come to you. He said, no, you go to them. And let me ask you this, where would you be tonight if somebody hadn't have got after you? You know, the Bible says that no man lives to himself nor dies to himself. And I know tonight we're saved by the grace of God, plus nothing and minus nothing. But aren't you glad that God uses human instrumentality to get the job done? You know what the Bible said? The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Anybody in this room tonight saved and know it and glad about it? Well, you know why you saved and know it and glad about it? Somebody got a hold of you. Somebody got after you. Somebody invited you. Somebody witnessed to you. Somebody spoke to you. But aren't you glad when you was a sinner and your life was in a million pieces, God put somebody in your life that pointed the way, and through their faithfulness and through their ministry, God used them in your life. Why, this good Samaritan didn't stay at his house and say, Lord, send somebody my direction today. He left his place and went to the man's place. We need to stop saying and praying, Lord, send somebody my way today, to start praying, God, send me to somebody's way today. Because they ain't a coming your way. But thank God we can go their way. You see, I'm here to tell you tonight that I don't care what doctrine, what truth, camp meeting, revival meeting, Arthur, spiritual periodical, religious reading material, whatever it is, if it causes us to lose our burden for a lost and a dying world, and if it causes us to shirk our personal responsibility of getting out the gospel, we're wrong, we're unbalanced, and we're not right. You say, but wait a minute, preacher, it takes God to save a sinner. I know that, and I believe that. But that same God who possesses the sole ability to save a sinner is the same God that told you and I to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go. Go. We have been commissioned to go. And can I say, you can't go to the wrong place? Because the whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. And you can't witness to the wrong person. Your responsibility is not to win them. Your responsibility is to witness to them. One sows, another waters. But it's always who? God. That giveth the increase. Let me say it like this. I can't take a heart that's broken and make it over again. But I know a man who can. I can't take a soul that's sin sick and wash it whiter than snow. But I know a man who can. I can't reach your broken family. I can't mend your broken heart. I can't patch up your broken dreams. But I serve a God who can, who has, who will, and who does. I just have the responsibility to tell the world Jesus saved. I like what Spurgeon said. He said, if everybody that was going to be saved had a yellow streak painted up their back, we wouldn't preach the gospel. We'd just run around and look up coattails. You said, don't you believe God knows who's going to be saved? You better believe that. But I don't. So I just preach to everybody. You say, what about them that ain't going to get in? I am not going to be held accountable. Amen. whether they got in or not. I'm just going to be held accountable whether I got the message out or not. God said to that watchman, I've set thee as a watchman upon the wall. And when you see the enemy approach, you let the city know. Now, if you let them know and something bad happens, then you're free. But if you see the danger and you don't warn the man, the same man will die, but his blood will I require at thy hands. God never told me to save anybody. He never told me to win anybody. He never told me to talk anybody into nothing. He said, just tell it, tell it, tell it, tell it. But I'm telling you, if we'll tell it, God will use what we tell. I got a buddy of mine, and he had a great man of God, old time man of God, come preach for him a while back. Took him out to lunch, and he was trying to be spiritual. You know how you feel when you get around these seasoned men of God? Man, you don't talk about hunting and fishing and playing golf, riding horses. You talk about the Bible. You try to look spiritual whether you are or not. Say amen right there. So my buddy was trying to think of something, at least scripture, to talk about. And he had this idea. He said, sir, he said, we're not seeing the number of people saved that we would like to see. We're not seeing hardly anybody saved here. And, you know, I wonder what the problem is. Son, I done learned. Don't even talk to them old men of God like that, because they got an answer. He said, well, young man, two things. Number one, either the gospel has lost its power or you don't preach it. I said, what'd you say then, buddy? He said, I got talking about coon hunting. Amen. About like me, I was riding down the road one day with Hanley Milby. I flew to the meeting. We were preaching together, and he drove, and I flew. And so I had to bum a ride every night with him from the motel over to the church. And man, this has been about 15 years ago, and I was a lot younger then than I am now. And I just trying to initiate a conversation. Have you ever tried to initiate a conversation with a handling man? But that ain't one of the easiest things you'll ever do. And man, I'm trying to think of something spiritual and something decent to say. And so I looked at her, I said, well, glory to God, preacher. I said, woo, I love Jesus. Hey, man, how about you? He said, I don't know if I do or not. I said, now, I don't understand that. Because you just preached one of the greatest sermons I ever heard anybody preach last night. And that's pretty good for a man. Don't even know if he loves Jesus or not. He said, you want me to explain that? I said, I'd appreciate it. He said, boy, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And he said, I don't do that too good sometimes. You said, what'd you say the rest of the week? Nothing. I just went, oh, I want to tell you, that Bible works. The gospel works. Hey, if I preach to you tonight what God lays on my heart to preach to you, and you die and go to hell, it's not my fault. But woe be unto anybody that stands behind God's sacred desk and preaches not the gospel clear and plain. I've not been called to save. I don't have the power to save. My calling is to tell it, tell it, tell it, tell it, tell it often, tell it hard, tell it long, tell it loud. I like telling it, and if I tell it, that's all I'm responsible for. I think the church needs to go tell it again. Go. He that goeth forth weeping and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I like the promise that Jesus gave with the plan. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel unto every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son. Boy, that shoots that Jesus only movement down. And of the Holy Ghost. And lo, and I don't mean if you're not flying or are flying an airplane. And lo, I am with you all the way, even to the end of the world. You say, what's that mean, preacher? We don't go alone. We don't serve alone. We don't tell it alone. A Christian soldier is the only soldier that every time he goes into the battle, he's got the King with him. Woo! That's why the Apostle Paul said, 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, in chapter 5, we beseech you in Christ's stead as ambassadors, be ye reconciled to God. Let's go, let's go, let's go. There's somebody that needs our ministry. There is a commission to this ministry. Number two, look at our text tonight. Secondly, there is a compassion to this ministry. Notice what he says in verse 37, go and do thou likewise. What's that likewise mean? Go do it like that other feller did it. Well, how did that other feller do it? He did it in love and compassion. When he said, go thou and do likewise, he wasn't referring to the priest in verse 31. He wasn't referring to the Levite in verse 32. He was referring to the Samaritan in verse number 33. And what is the difference between the priest and the Levite and the Samaritan? They all three went. They all three saw him. And one word is the difference. Where the priest passed him by. Where the Levite looked on him and passed him by, that certain Samaritan, here it is, one word, had compassion. No wonder Jude 22 says, and of some having compassion, making a difference. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. In fact, can I say this tonight? If you don't go in love, just don't go at all.
That's all right, Joe. Yes, sir. Amen.
You say, well, just how important is that love and compassion? Well, let me give you a Bible answer. The Apostle Paul said, if I could speak with the tongue of an angel, if I understood all of the mysteries, he said, if I gave everything I had and even burned my body and I didn't have any love, it'd profit me nothing. And I'd be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You know what a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal is? Just a bunch of racket.
That's right. Amen.
And I've gone to a lot of Baptist churches and I ain't being ugly. About all I heard were racket. The singing didn't make no sense. The preaching sure didn't make no sense. You know why? It wasn't laced with love and compassion. Can I say what I want to say? Can I say what the Lord wants me to say tonight? You look up here at my God-given eyeballs. God is not a prejudiced God. God hates no man, no race, no color, and no creed. If God was a prejudiced God, we'd be in a fix, because I don't see a Jew one here. Now, if you're here tonight and you're a full-blooded Jew, you're excused. But the rest of you Gentile rednecks like me, there ain't one thing worse than being a Gentile than being a Gentile redneck. If God hated races and different people, he'd hate you and me, because we ain't Jews. Son, I'm glad the heart of God is bigger than the color of a man's skin. I'm glad the heart of God is bigger than a man's genealogy. I'm glad the heart of God is bigger than a man's geographical location. I'm on them big words tonight, boy. I'm glad the heart of God is bigger than a man's family tree. He tasted death for every man. He loved the world, and it's still whosoever will. Remember in Sunday school? Remember? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. God help any preacher that'll get behind God's pulpit and proclamate hate and prejudiced. God ain't in 1,000 billion trillion, as my little girl says, infinity, man, miles from that. Son, that priest looked at that fallen man and said, what a sight. I'm a priest. I can't stoop down to his level. That Levite comes by and says, I got too much religion to help him. They all pass him by. Oh, but thank God. Woo! That good Samaritan, as he journeyed on his way, he saw him, had compassion, got down there where he was, and did for the man what he couldn't do for himself. I'm a little feller, and I try to be meek and mild and kind. But I do got my other side. And it really comes out on me big time when I see a bunch of Pharisees, a bunch of holier than thous, look down their Baptistic, Baptist, separated, blessed God nose down at everybody else that don't act like them and don't look like them. So aren't you glad? Oh, let me take another vote. Anybody here not saved to know it and glad about it? Amen. Hey, anybody here not got saved under the preaching of the Word of God? You might as well get that hand up. You know I'm telling the truth. I'm going to get you to raise your hand one way or another. Bless God, how many love your wife? You got it up that time, didn't you, boy? So if you hadn't got that head up, you would have been bald head, boy. Aren't you glad the night that man of God got up to preach, he didn't say, hey you right there, excuse me just a minute, before I preach, let me say, you don't look like one of us. I can tell you're a stranger around here, but why don't you just leave? You know what that would be like? That'd be like going down to the hospital in the middle of the night saying, I got a heart attack, and that doctor come out saying, well, I can't help you. Get out of here. We don't let sick people in here. Wait a minute, Doc. I thought that sign out there said emergency. You know what that word emergency means? Whatever your problem is, come on in. We got an answer. It may take them 4 years to find it, but at least they care. Woo! Son, I want to tell you, the church is not a social club. It's not a glorified country club. It's not a place for do-gooders. It's a place of an emergency room for people with sins and troubles and trials to get under the influence of somebody that's willing to look beyond what they were and love them. Have compassion. There's a commission to that ministry. Go. There's a compassion to that ministry. Go in love. Number three, look at our text. There is a commitment to this ministry. Notice what he said in verse 37. Go and do. He said, we got something to do. What are we to do? Go thou and do likewise. Well, what's likewise? Do what that other dude did. What did he do? He met his needs. He gave him what he didn't have. He didn't double dog dare him to get up. He helped him get up. And then the Bible said he took care of him. And then he brought him to an inn. I touched this a little bit last night, but since we got some first timers, can I go back and repeat mode for 2 or 3 minutes? You know what an inn is? Hotel, a motel. It's a home away from home. And if you travel as much as I do, you might as well make it home away from home. It's a place where you rest, relax, rejuvenate, refresh until you get to your house. Jeremiah said, oh, I wish I had a lodge in the wilderness where a wayfaring man could come and get some help along the journey. Woo! And 700 and some odd years later, God answered that prayer on the day of Pentecost.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You say, how was that? His disciples. You see, the church was conceived in the mind of God for the foundation of the world. The church's liberty was bought and paid for in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But it was birthed for action on that Pentecostal Sunday. You know what I mean. On that day of Pentecost, son, God filled his church, raptured his church, and those 12 men came out of that upper room with a call, with a burden, and they turned the world upside down. And there's a place in the wilderness. Let me say it like this. There's a place here on our way there where we can have a little there down here. He didn't leave that man to get along by himself. He didn't leave that man to try to float his own boat. He took him to an inn and he said to the host, I'm going, but I'm leaving you a call. I'm leaving you a commission. I'm leaving you a commitment. While I'm gone, you take care of this man. And before he left, he gave him what he needed to do the job. You know, Jesus gave the church what we needed to do the job before he left. You say, what was that? Ha! When he breathed on them. Ha! Woo! And said, receive you the Holy Ghost. That's all you need.
Right. Amen, son. Yeah.
You say, well, what about all them information packets I get in the mail? Best thing you do is throw them away. Because you ain't going to improve with the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. I just love to hear these, you know, mega churches advertise in the paper, come to our place. Well, first of all, it ain't your place, it's his.
Yes, that's right.
And they say, come to our place. We have more to offer. If it's more in the Bible and the Holy Ghost, I don't think I'm interested. Because I'm going to tell you how old-fashioned I am. If anything of eternal value is going to happen in anybody's life, it'll come through the power of the Holy Ghost applying the Word of God. You say, but wait a minute. At your church in Atlanta, y'all have the Awana program. Yeah, you know what that is? That's based all around the Word of God. You said, but on Wednesday night, y'all have the Truth for Youth ministry. You know what that is? That's all based around the Word of God. Yeah, but you have the Jolly 60s for the old, but you know what that is? That's based around the Word of God. You said, what do y'all use for your Sunday school? We use the Word of God. What do y'all do on Sunday morning? We use the Word of God. What do y'all do on Sunday night? We use the Word of God. What do you do in all the facets of your ministry on Wednesday night? We use the Word of God. And if we have a meeting on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we use the Word of God. Bless God, if we have Bible study at the nursing home, we'll use the Word of God.
Amen.
When them boys go down to the jail, they use the Word of God. I'm telling you tonight, son, when your little old philosophy leaves you confused and I feel like preaching. Son, I'm glad the Word of God and the power of the Spirit of God, it still gets the job done. Help me out, brother. I'm going to pretend like this man here is the fallen man. I'm going to be the good Samaritan. I've come by and bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine, and cleaned him up real good. It wasn't dirt. I just get some of my spit off. Amen. I believe in baptizing them, but I also believe in sprinkling them a little bit too. You'll get that in a minute. And Brother Scott over here, he's going to be the host. He's going to be the innkeeper. This is how it happened. Mr. Host, my name's the Good Samaritan. This right here is a man that's had a hard time at it. He walked down that Jericho Road one day and fell among thieves. And son, they got a hold of him. And by the time they got through with him, he was stripped, he was wounded, just about dead. But I've come by and I've bound him up, poured it in, and brought him to you. Now I'm believing in the morning, but he still needs some care. He ain't home yet. Hold on, I'll be back in a minute. He ain't home yet. He ain't home yet. And guess what? We ain't either. But thank God we're going. He ain't home yet. And he's not perfect yet. Still got a long way to go. But I'm going. Now here's what you need to take care of him in my absence. I'll be back in a little while. So you just occupy till I come. You just stand in my stead till I get back. You represent me. You stand in for me. You do what I do when I was here. Wait a minute. Boy, isn't it good to just do what he did when he was here? And I want to be found doing what he did when he was here when he gets back to here.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to tell you before I leave, it ain't going to cost you to serve me. Because if it cost you a little bit down here, I'll repay you.
Amen.
I'm going to make it worth your time. Doing something for me is definitely not in vain. And you're not going to come out on the little end. You're going to be glad you did.
Amen.
I will repay thee.
Amen.
When I come again.
Amen.
So you just go over there and take him on in and take care of him. How many? I got to hurry, but how many pastors we have here tonight? Wave at me. You are the head chief cook and bottle washer. Vacuum clean runner and screwdriver handler and everything else. Amen. Wave at me if you're a pastor. What an awesome privilege. You know, you ain't got to dig ditches, man. You know, there are worse jobs. I can't get an amen out of none of them. They act like I'm going to hit them up for money or something. Wave at me, pastors. What a blessed privilege.
Amen. Amen.
But fellas, what an awesome responsibility. Because you know what God does to you every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night? He places under your care them people he saved. And while he's gone, we'll take care of them.
Amen. Amen.
Got anybody here tonight saved and know it and glad about it?
Amen.
Now, everybody but the preachers. I'm talking to the regular people now. You say, ain't preachers regular? I ain't met a regular one in a long time. You talking about a different breed, son. We are. But let me talk to the lay people just a moment. How many here tonight, when you got saved, God put somebody in your life that's been an awesome blessing to you? See, when some of y'all got saved, you didn't even know how to talk, because you couldn't even say two words without cussing. Excuse me, there may be some Yankees here cursing. It ain't cussing, it's cursing. It's cussing. Some of you had to get a whole new wardrobe when you got saved. You didn't have nothing fitting to wear to a funeral, much less a Sunday morning service. And when some of y'all got saved, you had to get a whole new set of friends, because that crowd you run with dropped you, buddy. Someone said, oh, pray for me that God to give me grace to leave my friends. It ain't going to be that hard. They're going to leave you. You ain't going to have to shoo them off. They're going to shoo you off. Had to get a whole new set of friends. I mean, son, had to get a whole new set of hobbies. I mean, son, you were so revolutionized when God saved you.
Amen.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I know I got to hurry, but I don't want to. There's a song in that church hymnal called, "The Lord has been so good to me, He set my captive spirit. I'm in a new world." Son, it was just like going to a brand new world when you got saved. The music was brand new. I'm glad too, because that first in Isaiah was pretty bad. How many are glad you're in a new world since you've been saved? But you didn't know how to act. You didn't know how to dress. You didn't know about tithing. You didn't know about being a witness. You didn't know about communion. You didn't know about prayer, Bible study. But God in His goodness, I'm wanting to preach so bad right here I can't stand it. But God in His goodness,
yes, sir. Yes,
put you under the watch care.
Yes, yes, sir.
Of somebody, amen, that did know how to dress.
Right.
That did know how to tie.
Amen.
That did know how to pray.
Yeah.
That did know how to read the Bible. Let me ask you another question. Anybody here not saved, anointed, and glad about it, that's made a few mistakes since you've been saved, anointed, and glad about it? Now, for all you perfect holy Joes, just sleep. I'll be through and I'll preach to the rest of us. Anybody here made a few mistakes since you've been saved, said some stupid things, acted in some dumb ways? But ain't you glad the preacher didn't get up and say, "Hey, get out of here, you idiot. You stupid thing, you." No, he just sent one of them innkeepers over there and said, "Don't do that again. Don't say it that way. Here's how we do it." Son, can I tell a personal illustration? I'm 42 years old. This is my 25th year preaching. Man, I am so thankful. As a young teenage boy, when God called me to preach, He put men in my life that kept me balanced, kept me focused, kept me in the right harness, and kept me plowing the straight road. One of them was my old dad. If I don't quit talking about him, I'm going to go down and start to cry. But he was my buddy. He was the best man at my wedding, my hunting buddy, my fishing buddy. And my daddy loved me. He would have never played golf in front of me. My daddy loved God. Amen. Well, there goes the meeting right there, son. But he was my buddy. And I'd come in from a meeting, a Bible conference. And you know how young preachers are. They'll repeat anything they hear. And I said, "Boy, dear," he said, "leave that alone, that ain't no good." Sure enough, it wasn't. God put Mage Jackson into my life. Boy, always be nice to people. It don't ever cost you nothing to be nice to people. You be nice to people. You treat them like they're somebody, you'll be fine. Boy, that kept me from being mean and ugly. Appreciate it. God put Billy Kelly in my life. He said, enjoy life along the way. Sure. He's up once in a while. And life, it ain't going to break your phase.
Right.
He said, you ain't got to act like a clown to serve God, but you don't have to look like a mortician either. Boy, I appreciate that. Amen. Put Billy Kanoy, Dr. Bill Kanoy in my life. Don't you preach nothing but the gospel. Don't you spend your time fooling with nothing but the pure virgin gospel. Amen. Oh, I appreciate that. I appreciate the men in my life
yes.
that were hosts to me.
Sure. Yes. Yes.
Scott, I love you. You're a good guy. But you wouldn't be half what you are now without those hosts.
Right. Oh, Lord, yes. Yes, sir.
Preacher, I ain't never met you as far as I know till tonight. But one thing I noticed about you, no longer than I heard you talk, you've got a good spirit.
Amen.
Yes, you've got a spirit of love and compassion, and I like it. And I don't know nothing about you, but I guarantee you there's somebody in your life that God used to teach you how to be kind and love.
Yeah.
You didn't know nothing about praying. You didn't know anything about getting no outline. You didn't know anything about pastor no church. But somebody took you under their wing.
Amen.
Said, I'm going to help you.
Yeah.
Amen. When you make mistakes, I'm still going to help you.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to be there for you.
Thank
Lean
God.
On me.
Yeah.
Woo! As some of you young ladies in this service tonight, let me tell you what you ought to do. You ought to find you some good godly old saint of God. Watch the way she looks and walks and acts and dresses and worship God. Let somebody be a blessing in your life. Take care of him. How long? Till I get back. You know how long we're supposed to love people and help people and minister to people? Till he gets back.
Amen.
Number four, and I'm done. There's a commission. There's a commitment. There's a compassion. Number four, there's a crown to this ministry. Oh, you're not going to serve me in vain. It ain't going to cost you. When I come again, I will.
Yeah.
Repay thee.
Amen.
You know what the promise is to you and I? Let's listen. Let's let Paul testify right here. Come here, Paul. Testify. Paul says this. He says, what is my hope? What is my joy? What is my crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye, speaking to the people he had won to Christ, are not even ye in his presence at the coming of our Lord? Paul said, I don't need a street of gold to make me happy. Woo!
Yeah.
I don't need a big old gate of pearl to make me happy.
Yeah.
I don't need a wall of jasper to make me happy. Paul said, if I can just see you,
amen.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
I'm good-minded to call Craig Edwards and tell him not to come. Let me preach the camp meeting if it's going to be this much fun. He said, I don't need a street of gold. I don't need a wall of jasper. He said, if I can just see you.
Amen.
Oh, God. If I can just see you. If I can just see you up there in his presence when I get there, that's my joy. That's my glory. That's my crown of rejoicing. There's an old preacher up in Daint, Virginia, Clyde Carter. He's in heaven tonight. Brother Clyde got saved years ago in an old mountain church, and about 20 years after he got saved, he heard they were going to tear it down, build a bigger one. He said, that's fine, but he said, give me about 4 minutes. And he went up out of that old church and he got him an auger bit and drilled a hole in the floor over top of the very spot he got saved. And he stuck a jigsaw down in that hole and he cut him out a seal about that big around, the very spot he was kneeling in when he got saved. And for 35 years, he carried it with him every time he preached. He'd have his Bible in one hand, that floor joist in the other. Somebody said, Brother Clyde, What do you use that for? He said, so when the devil comes by and tells me I ain't saved, I hit him upside the head with one book and I hit him with this floor joist with the other. And can you believe I heard a Baptist preacher making fun of that old man? Whew. It took all I could do to be kind. Skinny people get mad too, brother. Brother Clyde Carter, I loved him. I went to his house one day and I said, you got indoor plumbing, don't you? Yeah, you've had it for years. I said, well, that path up there through the woods, most people in the mountains had a path that was... And he said, well, won't you walk up there and see? I walked up there and there's a whole area. It looked like where deer and bulls and horses had been wandering around fighting. I said, what's all that? He said, that's where I pray. He said, I wore that path out, walking around and praying. Have you ever been around anybody that could just say, Jesus? Mm. And you got holy goose pimples? Brother Clyde's wife, little mountain woman, about 4 foot tall. And they had a son and he had a wife. And they used to sing with a guitar. Might like the old Chuck Baggy gang. His son would just bring a chord down. And they'd hum in and they'd go to singing. I've heard them sing many, many times in the Holy Ghost. And as a young preacher, about shout myself to death. Boy, it wasn't hard to preach when they got through, but all you had to do is say, whoa, and they come to the altar. One particular song they used to sing, even now in my mind, I can hear it. And when I do, it speaks volumes to my soul. I wonder, oh, I wonder if someone in glory will be waiting for me. Will someone be waiting? Yes, waiting by the bright river side. Will someone be waiting when across all that deep rolling tide? They tell me no sorrow forever in the city will be. But I wonder, yes, I wonder if someone in glory will be waiting for me. Oh, I'm glad you came to hear me preach tonight. I'm glad you came for the camp meeting rally tonight. And most of all, I'm glad you came to worship God tonight. I hope you came to hear the word of God. And I hope you don't leave disappointed. But I want to tell you there's a place I'd rather see you than in Drexel, North Carolina. I'd rather see you on the streets of the city of God. Saved by the grace of God. I tell you, brother, I'd rather see you there than any place I know of. Woo! Oh, I got to hurry. You got a long way to go. But I just want to say, praise God, I believe we're on the threshold of Him coming back. I believe He's on His way back. It could be any moment. And I want to tell you, it's going to be worth every mile of the trip. It's going to be payday, baby. You preachers, you pastors, you listen to me tonight. Don't get weary in well doing, buddy. She's going to pay off one day. You've had burdens your own wife didn't even know about. You had weights on your mind that nobody but you and God knew about. You've climbed out of that bed a many morning in the wee hours to go help somebody, and you needn't help so bad yourself you couldn't hardly stand. And there's times you've had to go to the pulpit and say something to them, and you would to God you had somebody to say something to you. But you sucked it up like a man and pressed on for God. It ain't in vain, boys. When He comes, woo! You'll be glad.
Amen.
Old Nichols down here was in World War II. You've been to Germany. Man, it's kind of like knowing the man's coming for inspection. Yeah. And boy, when he comes by, you want to be able to.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I did it. You put me in charge. I did it. And it didn't disgrace your name nor my country. I got my uniform pressed, my badges shine. And I'm ready. And all I want to hear you say, well done. Woo! Well done, thy good and faithful servant. I don't want to read into the Bible. I don't think we ought to do that. But I can't help but wondering when that man got back and saw the man that had fully recovered. I can't help believe he looked over and said, he looks good. Yeah. Looks a whole lot better than he did when I found him.
Amen.
You done good. Yeah. Proud of you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
I told you I was going to pay you. Here it is.
Amen.
Done a good job. Boy, I'd love for the Lord to look at me one day and said, boy,
yeah,
you done a good job.
Yeah.
I gave you a job. I gave you a commission. I gave you a work. I put somebody under your watch care. You've done a good job. Every time I look at you and see you preach, and boy, what a preacher you are. And you know what I think? I think, son, Brother Wade done a real good job. All you need is a horse, man, and you'd be there. Brother Wade done a good job. Brother, I don't even know your pastor, but I know you, and he done a good job.
Bless you.
Nichols, whoever worked on you done a good job. Bill, I know you're a pastor. And son, if he done anything at all with you, he done a good job. Anybody here tonight, right now, you got somebody on your mind. Yeah, that's who it was. Oh, that's who it was. You know what you might all do if they're still alive? Before the sun comes up in the morning, you might ought to go see them or make your little phone call and say, I just want to tell you, thank you.
Amen.
You've done a good job.
Amen.
Appreciate the blessing you've been to my life. Amen. And who knows, there may be somebody here tonight, and that person in your life that's been a blessing to you might be sitting in this very room.
Right.
It wouldn't hurt you at all before you get out of here tonight just to walk over a row or two. Say thank you. Thank you for serving God. Thank you for being true. Thank you for showing me Jesus. Let me say this tonight. I'm going to Atlanta, Georgia by the grace of God. It always pays to take your life and invest it in the life of somebody else. Our Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your goodness. I do appreciate the liberty I had to preach tonight. Thank you. I appreciate the freedom. Appreciate it. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I ain't no machine. I got to have you. I appreciate you helping me tonight. I want to thank you for the kind attention of this audience, and I appreciate it. Lord, I'm glad they came. But God, I beg you, stir their heart before they leave. God, help us to be innkeepers. Help us to be a minister to others. Help us, Lord, to be used of thee to make the difference in somebody's life so we'll not be ashamed when you come again. Help us to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. And so we'll hear you say one day, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Would you do for us tonight what we cannot do for ourselves? And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed tonight. The preacher's coming to take the service. The musicians are coming tonight. But maybe you here and you just like to come and say, Lord, help me to be a faithful innkeeper. Use my life to make the difference in somebody else's life. And I believe tonight that fresh commitment to Christ could make the difference in someone's life. Maybe there's somebody in this room tonight that has been like a host to you. Before you leave tonight, why don't you go tell them, you've been a help to me. You've been an encouragement. There may be someone here tonight, you've got a lost loved one in your family. Man, you want God to use you to reach them. I'm telling you tonight, God is able to still reap the harvest. He can use us tonight if we'll let him. Let's stand together. Pastor, the service is yours.
281 in the blue hymn. Send the light. Send the light. Send the light. This altar's open. Somebody came by with a lantern of the gospel. Church you're a member of, this altar's yours. This altar's open. Let it shine so sure. Send the light, the blessed gospel. Let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace and mercy where about. Send the light. Christ likes me.
Aren't you glad one day when you and I, when we were in darkness, somebody shined the light in our direction. Somebody came with a word telling the old, old story. Blessed be the good name of God. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. That's gospel preaching. That's Bible preaching. Amen. That's the kind of preaching that's the need of this hour. And the need of this day, amen. I bless the good name of God. Again, we're delighted to have all you churches and all of you that are here with us tonight. Be praying for the camp meeting that God might meet with us and stir our hearts and stir our lives. That's why we gather together like this. That's why we have camp meeting, amen. That, oh my, you and I might get recharged. You and I might get stirred up again, amen, to tell the old, old story. I bless the good name of God. You folks from Trinity and everyone, of course, you be sure to speak to Brother Joe. My, how he has preached in these days. I cannot take any credit for anything eternal. And I can't take hardly no credit at all for anything good goes on around here. You can give me the credit for the bad stuff. But you got to give me this much credit I at least do put some fellas in this pulpit and preach. I may not can do it, bless God, but I do know a few fellas that can, amen. And we've heard preaching. We've heard preaching. And I bless the good name of God. Appreciate all you preachers. I meant to mention a minute ago when you were telling us who you were and where you're from. Anybody that got a revival meeting coming up here soon? Tara Crump, all right. Anybody else? Remember. Amen. Remember that meeting, amen. Get in wherever God's at, amen. All right. Over at Ockers Grove. Amen, fellas. Amen. Brother Charles Lewis, thank the good Lord for the good word of God and the service tonight, if you will.
Our Father, we come with grateful hearts, thanking you, Lord Jesus, for feeding our hungry soul. Thank you, God, yes, for your servant. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of fellowship here tonight. God, we just thank you for all that you've done for us. And Lord, one day after a while, God, we'll be home forever. We thank you for that. Praise your sweet holy name. Bless every church, every pastor. Watch over each one and give a safe journey home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen.